Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 210, top of the day to you, Tom.
You're so excited, you're slamming the table, which is number one rule of radio.
Do not bang the table. Slash desk.
We covered that with someone the other night while recording something special coming soon.
Oh, very exciting.
But today we're talking about 210. It's a good one.
It's a good one. Lots going on. Also, just look, I know we said this coming up, but let's kind of just acknowledge the fact that we've got some really good stuff coming for the end of this year and also following on into the beginning.
We've got some special specials.
Yeah.
So stay tuned and get excited to jam them in your ear holes.
We're not taking a break.
Some of them in your eye holes and none of them in your other orifices.
No, we're not like that.
No.
We're not like
that's
that.
That's for you to stuff, not us. Anyway, what a start. Here we go. It's hitting it hot.
I have got a Christmas quiz for you coming up a little bit later on.
Oh, good. Well, I'm going to see how I go because I think I was shamed into discovering I know very little Christmas films last week with Stephanie bringing serious knowledge.
Jeez, that was a good episode. If you listened to it yet.
I ended up going looking at things and I discovered that there's several books about the Hallmark Christmas stuff. Hallmark Christmas film-inspired cookbooks.
Really?
Oh, all sorts.
Like it's a whole thing.
You can get sticker books, colouring in books, colour in your favourite Hallmark movie. Wow.
That's not a bad idea because you could do that whilst watching the movies. You don't really need to concentrate, right?
Yeah, and the cats aren't going to get in the way too much.
No.
I don't mean your cats.
No, I know.
I mean, it's clearly a gift.
It's for,
for people who have many cats.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a cat lover's paradise, that.
Cats are they're not adverse to colouring in, I don't think.
I think it's very calming. Yeah. Imagine a little bit of scritch, scritch, scritch. Sounds like a possum in the walls.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by knowing that the amusing anecdote your significant other is recounting at a party has factual inaccuracies in it. But you manage to restrain yourself from pointing them out and therefore boring and making everyone awkward. The Watchersville Improv Club will be performing their, probably, Christmas play this Friday night at the Council Drama Theatre. As you know, this space is usually used by councillors to argue with each other every second Tuesday about a whole variety of issues like footpaths, nature strips, the lack of footpaths and nature strips being too large, parking meters, the lack of parking meters, not enough parking meters being too cheap, parking meters not being expensive enough, the town fair, rezoning, re-rezoning, high visibility clothing and the end of year work Christmas barbecue. It'll be nice to take a break from all that drama and have proper thespians in there. It was a very special day for Deirdre Taylor on Monday with her cooking blog getting 200 visitors. I know it doesn't sound like much, but it's massive considering she's running it as a live in-person blog. Meaning people have to physically go to her house and she gives them photocopied paper versions of her blog, which she keeps offline just in case hackers try to take it. Well done, Deirdre. Amazing work. The old public phone out the front of the library will be staying put for the time being after the town's superheroes complained that if it were to be demolished, they would have nowhere to change in times of emergency. The telephone company had argued that it is possible to duck into the public loos and change there in privacy, but the Superhero Association said no one can ever understand and to please let them be. After some confusing facial expressions, the booth is staying put. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. You got a couple of trailers a little bit later on.
I have two trailers and a couple of a little bit of news.
Great. I've got some news as well.
I'm going to
tell you the first one that I saw because I thought you probably know of it as well, so we can just have a chat, right?
All right.
Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Great film. Made over $430 million worldwide in 2021.
Asterix.
Pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah. So the director, Destin Daniel Cretton, I think he wrote it as well or had some, he was
very involved.
Involved in it. Yeah. Well, Marvel/Disney love him. They
they love him now, so much so that Kevin Feige said, you know, that they had a great time working with him, and he's got so many intriguing ideas and stories to bring to life for Disney Plus. So I reckon not only because he's going to make the sequel for Shang-Chi, but judging by the sound of that, they may not be Shang-Chi series, but we might get some more series from him.
Well, I was crystal balling this because this info just came out. I was crystal balling and thinking about it. And Marvel reportedly had a fantastic time making Shang-Chi here in the height of the pandemic, as well as Thor and this sort of stuff here in Sydney. And I think that there's a very solid crew that they can get back together for Shang-Chi 2. But any spin-off show, which is clearly the idea, they've got Fox Studios here ready to go. So I think it might be like almost like setting him up as base of operations here.
So would you, if you're going to do Shang-Chi spin-off kind of series, what characters from the film, apart from like the, you know, Shang-Chi and Awkwafina's character, who would you focus on, do you reckon?
Well, I think it's got to be the sister.
Yeah.
Who I don't want to give spoilers away, but the mid-credits scene very much reveals her future path.
Yeah.
And I could see it being a very cool sort of underground ninja martial arts.
Because she, without giving too much away, was already running something else.
Yes. She was the one running the underground fight club.
Yeah.
But she ends up a lot more powerful by the end of the film. So I could see it almost being like the underworld over in China or various parts of Asia.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. I really like that. And I think that's one thing that when you speak to people about the film, that was one of the main aspects that people really enjoyed, the fact that there was so much beautiful martial arts choreographed, I was going to say performances. They are performances, but fight scenes. Yeah. Beautiful.
It was a good-looking film.
It was a good-looking film. What have you got?
Well, I've got one that I'm glad you're sitting down because I almost tagged you in the story last night because it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad that we can't go overseas easily at the moment. Opening in April next year in London.
Yeah.
There is a Lara Croft interactive experience coming. And when I say interactive experience, I don't mean like a crap 3D ride. I mean like someone's bought a huge warehouse and turned it into a Lara Croft themed obstacle course. So I think there's laser interactive elements and stuff, like swing ropes.
Yeah.
And diving between cavernous outcrops and all sorts and stuff. So I've only seen concept artwork of it so far, and it looks pretty schmick. And I've forgotten the name of the studio that makes the game.
Is Square Enix?
Yes, it is Square. Yeah. Yeah. So they're heavily, heavily involved, cool, and they've written the storyline for the. Okay. This is what I mean. Like, it's something that they have worked on together that was brewed up during the pandemic. The height of it last year.
This sounds cool.
Yes. So London gets all these amazing, like, real life interactive experiences like this. And they love doing that, and pop up cinemas and all sorts of stuff like that. But this sounds really bang on. I think it's going to be a bit of a permanent fixture. They're investing that much into it.
So does that mean, because you know how, like, in Disney parks, you're not allowed to dress up as the characters?
So I don't know. I think.
Because you'd want to dress up as Lara, right?
Or Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones, or whoever the adventurer that, you know, is totally near and dear to your heart.
Totally.
I think that's kind of the angle they're going for.
Really fun. So you are a real life video game character. They've got to have a bit of it where she's in the mansion. And do you remember that? I can't remember which game it was. It was really early on. And it was like the tutorial, like how you can do all the moves.
Maybe the first game.
Maybe the first one. And the butler, he was like, yeah.
So there's actors throughout portraying characters. There will be original characters, but we're also characters from the games. I don't know how much it links to any of the films, but the fact that there's another Tomb Raider film coming reasonably soon.
Yeah.
There will be some synergy there.
I'm very excited because also that – the latest Tomb Raider trilogy was a trilogy, so the three are done, right? This kind of gives you, well, me, Tomb Raider fans, a bit of positivity, like, Oh, they're not done with her yet.
No, it's a very evergreen IP. They can keep refreshing it.
You know, I was thinking during the Christmas and New Year break, I think I might play that last one again, Shadow of Tomb Raider.
If they brought out a PS5 remaster of the trilogy,
that'd be nice.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, that's a couple of weeks right there.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah, I'm pretty – that sounds awesome.
really fun.
It's like an escape room mixed with Tough Mudder.
Yes. I can't wait for the videos. I can't wait to see people doing it.
You have a great time.
Jealous. All right.
On a haunted tour in tombs or caverns or something in London. And there was a bit where someone chases around with a chainsaw.
Was this for Halloween?
No.
Okay.
It was midday on a Tuesday or something. It's just like some ghost tour or something like that.
Fun.
I might have pushed Linz at the chainsaw and moved.
And ran yourself.
Yep.
I made her stand
at the back of the group.
Oh, God, that's funny.
I'll be at the front of the group. I'll charge head first into danger, but I don't like anything sneaking up
behind.
No,
I don't want to be behind either. No. I 100% agree with you. I remember going through the catacombs underneath Paris.
Yes.
You know, where you just walk through tunnels and tunnels.
Yes, there's skulls.
Thousands of them. And I remember walking in and you're in there for like a couple of hours and then you walk out again and it's like daylight, someone's shopping across the road, someone's on their phone. You're just like, well, these are two different worlds. Mm. But I hope that there's a bit in that Tomb Raider interactive thing where they've got like skulls and stuff.
Oh, there's got to
be. She wanders through skulls all the time. She can't help it.
Do you reckon you'll get to fight a raptor?
I hope so. Gosh, I still remember the feeling of, yes, Steph and I, we would take it in turns to play, right? But we were playing the game together. Hmm. And we'd go into that area of the game and we turn the corner. I remember it was on the right. You turn the corner and suddenly there's an enormous T-Rex in there and we were just like, nope.
Yep.
Turn around, walk out again. Still remember that years and years later.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey, I'm glad you're sitting down.
Why is that?
Because I'm quite a few episodes behind with Fear the Walking Dead, right? And that's fine.
I'm too behind myself.
But they've renewed it for season 8. And spoiler, Madison Dickens, Kim Dickens, a.k.a. Madison, is coming back. Killed her off in season 4.
Cool.
They're bringing her back.
Okay.
Like they've been stringing people along.
I thought we were going to be free.
No. I have been watching The World Beyond, though. Do you know
is
why
season
that
two
one's
any
okay?
better? Because I haven't watched any of season 2 yet. I've been banking it up and
it's getting kind of messy.
But it's working towards an end, right?
Oh yeah,
because this is one and done.
That's what I like about it. It's going to end.
I'm hating Fear the Walking Dead at the moment. I don't care about this nuclear fallout bullshit.
But like we said before, the idea is really cool, but
the execution just feels real off, and it's obviously COVID stuff.
Of course.
And we've got to understand, like, yes, know, that's why they've I broken know. Everyone up. But that show only works when everyone's back together.
Which is funny, right? Because The Walking Dead is not like that.
Yeah, Walking Dead's great when they do splits.
Isn't it weird, right?
But I think it's because the fear characters are caricatures, if that makes like
and always have been, right?
Yeah, they're just far more pulpy and less developed.
Yeah.
And their motivation shift a lot.
Yeah.
And God, Morgan's unbearable. Anyway. Oh, well, okay. Another season to look forward to,
Madison.
Everybody. If you're loving Fear the Walking Dead, that'll help. Maybe that'll wrap up at the same time as main series.
Hope so.
Because that's still got part B and C of this last season to go.
Yep.
Keep shambling on. Hey.
Yeah.
I made a note that I wanted to ask you about here.
Okay.
Who do you think this person could be playing? But I saw yesterday that Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation, and tons of great stuff, he's joined the cast of The Last of Us, but in a secret role.
Yeah, I'm trying to think
back. Is he Joel's brother? Surely he's too old for Joel's brother, right?
I thought they already said – no, did they already say that they had a character?
I think you're right. They did already say someone was playing him.
But the thing about The Last of Us, right, or at least the game, is it's very gamey, right? So you go through, you kill some of the zombies. I don't think they're called zombies. I can't remember what they're called. spore infested. And then there's bad guys as well. And then you go on to the next spot, you know, and I suspect he might be someone who is in a camp in one of the next spots.
Okay.
I think I'd like to see him as a bad guy, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I reckon if he does that Ron Swanson face as a bad guy, yeah, that's it, doing it perfectly. I reckon that would be very appropriate.
Sure.
Has he done a really serious role? Like,
Oh, yeah. So he was in The Founder. That's what it was called. The one with Michael Keaton about Ray Kroc and the forming of McDonald's. Well, the theft of McDonald's.
Oh, right. Okay.
From,
yeah, that guy, that bloke.
Nick Offerman. And we talked about him a few weeks ago, the guy that played the mentor to Morgan on Walking Dead proper.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't remember
and
his name.
And he was the Zodiac
then.
Killer.
He's a tall bloke.
God, how do we keep forgetting
him? Balding.
Anyway, yes. They were in the – I don't know. Nick Offerman, I've seen him in a lot of very – he was in Devs, that Alex Garland TV show and this sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
He loves playing against type.
Oh, so much so that it's part of his type now.
It is a little bit. But this is why I thought you might have some insight as to who he could be playing.
But what I thought was interesting about the story was that no one from HBO and no one from The Last of Us production except for one actor has said that he's in it yet.
Mm.
So, was that a mistake? Also, why hide it? Why?
What kind of secret role could he be?
He could be.
Is he God?
He could be God. I wonder if he could be part of the first era. So the first settlement where Joel. I'm trying to remember where Joel has to go and find Ellie.
Sure.
Or take her somewhere. No, he's got to take her somewhere. I wonder if potentially Nick Offerman is like the leader of that settlement, maybe. Or he could be a kind of scientist.
Okay. Could he be doing motion capture for a giraffe?
One can only hope, right?
Well, that business one arm up in the air.
Yeah, like
Big Bird.
Yeah, Big Bird.
Doing a bit of that.
Blew my mind when I found out that's how they do Big Bird.
Sure.
Never thought about it.
Carol got one very strong arm.
Yeah. The other one's just like, oh. No, yeah. The other one does the beak, right? Yeah. The
other one's down here, or one arm.
Yeah.
Sometimes that arm gets a bit of a flap.
Yeah.
And then that one's up there. He doesn't do shit with his right arm. What's the other way around? I can't remember. Potentially could, and I know this is a very left field, but
yes.
Could he be doing audio? Whatever the spore infested, whatever they're called, do they make a very distinct? Is it clicking? Are they clickers?
They're the clickers, but the one the clickers are like so far gone. But the other ones, they're more zombie like. You know, they kind of make scream and groany sounds. So
sure,
yeah, he could be doing a bit of that.
Who knows? We'll find out.
Only time will tell.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Tom.
Yes.
I found this out. You know how a while ago there was talk that there was going to be a Penguin spin-off for the Batman?
Yes.
There was going to be a series. It's happening. Colin Farrell officially signed on not only to star but executive produce.
There you go.
So he's really into it.
He must really like that prosthetic.
That's what I was thinking, right? Imagine having to do that every day.
For a TV show.
Yeah. Mm. March the 4th of March 2022 is the current release date for the Batman. So I imagine we won't get the Penguin series till
2023.
Yeah.
Something like that. Be a while.
Yeah.
What are they also doing? Gotham Central or something like that, whatever the procedural one is.
There was a fair bit of news, what, about a month or two ago?
Yeah. Renee Montoya will be in that, I'm sure. And the various, you know, Harvey Bullock, the various. Cops and detectives that make up Gotham.
Yeah, right.
One that got me excited yesterday. So I think it's called CXXP or something like that. So it was a Brazilian comic convention was on over the weekend.
Yeah, right.
And various bits and pieces came out, including a trailer I'll talk about in a moment. But Carl Urban did a video on behalf of everyone involved, the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited for us to see season 3, but that's not what he was there to reveal. He was there to reveal that there is a spin-off animated series coming early 2022 called The Boys Diabolical.
So because he announced it, I assume that he is a voice and therefore some of the other
everyone
cast
in the cast,
be?
Yeah, everyone awesome. In the cast is voicing their characters and this sort of stuff. But they are it may not be necessarily starring the boys each episode. It's an anthology series set in the world of the boys with each story written by different people, including Awkwafina's doing one, Andy Samberg is doing one, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and they're super involved in the boys and were going to be directing and everything, so that'll be great. Aisha Tyler is doing one. There's a whole list of very cool comedians and funny people who are going to do a fucked up animated episode each.
Love, you know, I love anthologies all over them. And then the names you started just listing, then I was like, yes.
So I only gave you half of the names. Go and have a look at the other names yourself. It's a very cool mix of people. And of course, the first reaction from the internet was, the boys / Invincible crossover when? Because they're both Amazon shows, and if they're doing an adult violent cartoon series, then there's very good chance it could cross over. Get Omni-Man in there to deal with some people.
Like the way you said that.
Yeah.
That's really good. Speaking of people that deal with people, the Mafia does that, and Sylvester Stallone is going to star in and executive produce a TV show called Kansas City for Paramount Plus. And I think this is the first time he'll ever actually be like a proper star, the star of a TV show. Back like in the 70s, he would be in episodes of...
Sure.
I don't know. Mash. Dragnet or... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just... Yeah. But
Turner and Hooch. No, that was a movie.
No, that was a movie. It's a TV show now. What about Columbo?
Sure.
Love Boat. You can look up IMDb and see if any of what we're guessing is correct. But this show is going to be about a New York Italian mobster played by Sylvester Stallone who is forced to relocate to Kansas City, and then like he's got to like face the whole reestablishing his mafia family in Kansas City. Because Kansas City and Kansas are two separate places, I realize.
Sure. Like a Washington state and Washington City or something.
Should be illegal, but it's not. It's, I don't understand why. Yeah, exactly. So that show will come at some point in time.
Well, I look forward to not watching that. It sounds good. I'm sure it's
fine. Do you know what? I would watch it if it had a Fargo feel to it. You know, quirky, but I don't think it's going to be
It's going to be like Yellowstone or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure it's going to do great. That's what I mean. Godfather / Yellowstone, like a country-fied version. He'll be a fish out of water.
Yeah. He's got an accent.
What do you mean I cannot get a pizza pie at midnight? I don't know what that accent was.
It was good, though.
It wasn't.
That's what people from Kansas City, not Kansas, sound like. Do you have anything else or you want to jump on into those trailers?
I've got those trailers ready to go. Let's
go!
All right, I'm letting them off the hook. The first one from that convention that I was talking about was a proper trailer for Peacemaker from James Gunn. That will be debuting in January, so not long to wait, on HBO Max, dropping 3 episodes first day and then weekly afterwards. It looks great fun. It's difficult to talk about if you haven't seen Suicide Squad, but you've had plenty of
some spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the trailer has bits of spoilery stuff
for
how it's a thing. Okay. But a character who came off as very intentionally one note and dumb in the movie looks to be getting a lot of color, and we will understand why he adopts that persona to act tough. Robert Patrick is playing his father. T-1000.
Patrick, yeah.
Who was recently on Fear the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm.
Just for one episode. No, was it Walking Dead, I think?
No, yeah, you're right. Was Walking
one
Dead.
One episode.
And he looks to be playing a very similar character to that in this. I don't even know who the person playing. There's another character named Vigilante who looks like a very overeager, like 21-year-old who desperately wants to impress as a vigilante, not a superhero. And may not be very good at the job.
May not last.
Yeah. So going to be great fun, I think. I'm looking forward to it. James Gunn says he's very proud of it. It kept him sane during lockdown last year, writing and getting ready to direct it. Yeah, so that's launching late January.
Cool. You did say that.
The other one, And you'll remember, it might have only been last week, but we spoke about Tiger King 2.
Yes.
And how I was disappointed that some of the main characters seemed to not be appearing. Well, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh.
Because there were 5 episodes in that series. Netflix has revealed that December 10th, so but only 3 days from now, or a day
this
from
weekend.
when we're recording, you should be able to watch it. Tiger King, the Doc Antle story is coming.
Okay.
Now, Doc Antle was the cult leader guy from the first season who he supplied the snake that Britney Spears danced with at the MTV Awards in
that
like 2000.
That yellowy white one.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you've seen a tiger in movies, quite possibly him. Mm. It's a 3-episode expose on this guy who he's in a lot of trouble.
Look, even back when Tiger King came out, I was like, oh, that guy's dodgy.
Yes.
I mean, they're all dodgy, but
I think it wasn't until they made Tiger King 1 that they realized how dodgy this guy was. And so this is digging back into his past and showing how he became, you know, Doc Antle and all. Like, oh, man, he seems like a slimy character. Mm. So he's the guy that they reckon has got a furnace buried somewhere on site that he got rid of cubs when they started getting too big. And, yeah, there's just there was one woman in the original Tiger King who came forward of, you know, he basically stole her away from her family when she was 16 and inducted her. And after the show came out, this trailer shows like at least 10
gross
women on camera. I was. Whoa. So this is going to be an awkward watch. But it now makes sense to me of why I said the season felt short. There were 5 episodes. Well, last season was 8 episodes and they've cut off 3 so that they can have a...
Yeah, okay. You know, that makes more sense.
No.
All right. Well, that one might be a bit better than...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. You were not impressed. I haven't even bothered because you were so unimpressed. I wasn't going to even play that game. I would like a watching suggestion, but I can't go on until I hear a fun fact from Tom.
All right. Today's fun fact got lost in the post.
Oh, no.
Kind of. But the fun fact that I will share with everyone
instead
is that it's good fun to drink red wine when you're cooking. And that's what happened, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I accidentally drank like a whole bottle of very good red wine.
What were you cooking?
I was doing some like marbled Wagyu steaks.
A bit swish.
It was very swish.
With the red, was the red wine supposed to go in?
No.
So it was just accompanying the cook. When you cook, do you like to pop something on your iPad to watch or do you do music?
Music. I like to put the headphones in. Actually, I have these headphones that sit like on the bone behind your ear and it vibrates and you hear it in your head, but you can still be listening because I can't ignore the kids and this
stuff. Enough.
So I put those on and I can listen to a podcast or have some tunes going.
Yeah, nice.
And it's a good break away from everyone and it's very easy to keep. I only put a little bit of red wine in the glass, but you finish that and you're like, I'll top it up a bit more.
Yeah,
I've drunk the whole bottle.
I'm going to be really sick and it's too late.
I wasn't sick. I feel poorly, but not too bad. Nothing that two pan au chocolate couldn't fix this morning.
And got a
some
big
fancy
old...
croissant. Big old Coke. Stumbled in here to have a chat with you about things that I've watched.
But
that's a fun fact. Have some wine. It's the Christmas season.
That's what I was going to say. It is the season. This is when people start to, you know, indulge in lots of
maybe you like everything. A good nog.
I saw a recipe for a Chilean, I think it was, what looked like kind of like an eggnog but without any egg in it. It sounded really nice.
Really?
If I ever find it again, I'm going to give it a go.
And then let me know because I've never been able to have eggnog.
I've actually never had it ever, even though I'm capable of.
Must be really appealing.
Yeah. Also, this is Australia.
I just want to get a good, like, German sausage before Christmas because I love a good German market at Christmas.
Nice and salty.
Yeah, I think Weihnachtsmarkt or something like that.
They do them in Austria too, don't they?
Yeah.
Probably Switzerland as well.
Oh, everyone in Europe loves a bit of a Christmas market. Mm. It's their own style, but I just want to have a big beer.
Yeah.
A stein of
That's
beer
right.
and walk around and eat some bratwurst.
Whilst looking at decorated pine cones?
Yeah, a bit of pine cones. Okay. A lot of lights up.
Yep.
A lot of food on a stick. I like a good food on stick.
I was just thinking, right, you could do this all at home whilst watching a Hallmark Christmas movie, because they do a lot of nighttime Christmas
things. It's the being outside.
You want to be in with the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere.
I get it. Uh-oh, here comes the watching suggestions.
Uh-oh.
Yay, here comes the watching suggestions.
Uh-oh.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've got a Christmas quiz for you coming up later, but I thought we should crack into a couple of things that we've been watching.
Yes.
What are we up to? So at the time of us recording this,
yeah,
3 episodes of Hawkeye have appeared.
Yes.
3, I think, yeah. And this is like the Marvel Christmas series.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that much about Hawkeye, and I'm enjoying watching him not be bothered but feel really guilty about not being part of the bad Christmas sweater family night that he's supposed to be having back at home.
It's that scene on the phone talking to his kid, that was a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon. He's too old for this shit. He doesn't want any more of this. It's kind of a really nice character to be playing.
Do you like Hayley's character?
Yeah, she's awesome.
You're down with her?
Very much so. Yeah. They are positioning her to be the Tony Stark of the Young Avengers. She's going to be the quippy, rich one.
And also she's learning a lot about the arrow technology.
Oh, yeah, trick arrows.
Yeah.
That was some pretty good showy stuff.
That's good fun.
And I like that the trailers and everything beforehand, they even used that scene as a preview scene. They cut it off before the big showy set piece of that. It was nice. Yeah. And I love how clearly it was telegraphed. I don't know if you saw it on the arrow, but when they pulled it back, with the name on the arrow, you're like, oh, I know it's about to happen. Great fun. I'm looking forward to anytime there's new ones, I look forward to the new episodes. But I believe this episode 4, which will come out by the time this is out, will tie into Black Widow.
Cool.
I think. And by the end of this, we'll know once and for all whether this is all tying into some people that were on the Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm. Have been rumors already this week about where that person could potentially show up, and is it going to be in this series? Look, what I like the most is the beginning and end show credits. The animation, the art style, it's beautiful.
So it's been a bit awkward because it's a very distinctive style, and it's very much linked to the Matt Fraction, David Ayer series of Hawkeye from about 2011 or somewhere there. And it's like, especially that first episode where you get the summary of Kate's backstory.
Yep.
That's their, like, David Ayer's exact animation style, and they didn't pay him.
Ooh.
So he's been quite vocal.
I bet.
That his disappointment in that Matt Fraction, the writer, is like credited through, but they've not credited him, even though they've used his art style. And like the posters for the show are using the iconography that he came up with for the cover work and all this sort of stuff. So it's been a little bit icky there.
There's still
some rights entanglement that's going to happen further and further down the line for years, I think, around this sort of stuff. But, yeah, it's gorgeous stuff.
And the choice of music as well, Christmas music, is really, chef's kiss.
Yeah, the slightly punk rock-fied Christmas carols.
It works so well. I love it. And I just like the fact that I'm watching something that's getting me in the Christmas spirit.
Hell yeah.
So apart from Hawkeye, what else have you been catching up on this week?
So one thing that I'll talk about, but it's not a watching thing, but it's still something relevant to us. I finally got around to, and I say finally, but I think it came out like a month or two ago, 5 separate issues of a comic series called Skybound X. And this will mean nothing to you, but Skybound is the comic company that...
Walking Dead, right?
Yes, that's right. It's Robert Kirkman's imprint, or distributed through Image Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And to celebrate 10 years in business, they did a 5-series only buy in comic stores or like online, but it's, I don't think it's going to be collected into a graphic novel.
Okay.
Each issue was four different stories from different authors of continuing or within the world of a comic series that had come out before. But the beginning of each issue was Robert Kirkman writing a storyline called Rick Grimes 2000.
Mm.
And it was so there was a joke at the end of, I think it was Walking Dead issue 75, where in
That's
color.
Before Negan.
Yes, in color, Rick wakes up in the hospital and that kind of starts again, but then we find out it was aliens who caused the zombies.
Okay. Oh, I vaguely remember you talking about this now.
Yes. Yeah. So this picked up that storyline, and so Rick had been in a second coma after it was still during the Woodbury period and this sort of stuff. He'd been bumped on the head or something like this by the governor. The governor had sold out humanity and joined up with the aliens, so he now had like cybernetic arms. Then Michonne like comes in and is like, Rick, we need your help. We've got to save the – and then the governor punches Michonne's head in and kills her. But they now have nanites from the aliens, so like she gets rebuilt as a mech warrior. It's – what the fuck? Rick's hand gets cut off and he gets like a spinning lightsaber plug in instead. Perfect. It was really out there.
There's a lot going on there.
It was funny. It doesn't tie into things. I can't recommend it, but I had to share that this is a thing that Robert Kirkman finds very funny.
Yeah, right.
And he will go back to that well when he can. But the thing that was very cool in there, nestled in, I think it was issue three, was a black and white continuation of a storyline called Clementine Lives. And I don't know if you played the Walking Dead Telltale games.
Yep.
This is Clementine where she's at now. And she's never appeared in print.
Interesting. So she really has been tied into that universe.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it was always the same universe.
Spoilers for a game that I don't think you can buy anymore because Telltale's gone. So Clementine is missing her lower right limb from below the knee, and she's on
and
a peg.
She was like late teens or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, so this looks to be like she's early 20s or something like that, maybe about 20. I've forgotten the name of the little boy that she's looking
at. Yeah, the little boy, I can't remember either.
She's they discovered like a monastery or something together, a school, and she's leaving him behind there to set out.
Nice. Cool.
And it was to say that Clementine Lives is a series that will be coming next year. I don't know if it's a proper series, but there's going to be three graphic novels not written by Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
Being written by a female young author.
Beautiful.
And stuff, so a far more appropriate voice for her and stuff.
That's fascinating.
But that's pretty cool, and that's another potential spin-off thing that they can develop. And
Clementine, a much-loved video game character because it was kind of like Choose Your Own Adventure, so people were really invested in her because they were able to make her decisions for her. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's so, really, really cool.
Not a watching thing, but still something that was pretty cool.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, you got a great idea.
Yeah.
What is your idea?
Okay, my idea is we've both got a backlog of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's now do three things, 30 seconds on each, and just clear out a few things.
Love it. Love it. All right. Watched for the first time in many years A League of Their Own, which starred Madonna, Gina Davis, Laurie Petty, directed by Penny Marshall, who is no longer with us anymore. Still enjoyed it, lots of fun, and Tom Hanks shouting, "There's no crying at baseball!" is still amazing.
I watched the Jonas Brothers family roast. It was fine. It was a lot less toothy compared to the ones made by Comedy Central.
Interesting.
It's on Netflix, hosted by Kenan Thompson. Mm-hmm. Pete Davidson heckles from the crowd. They give way too much time to their wives to heckle them.
Boring. Stop trying to make your wives a thing, Jonas Brothers.
It's a bit like that, and like Sansa does get some good slams in. There's a few great jokes in there and stuff, but I find that the roasts work better when it's a whole bunch of people on one person.
Sure.
When it's three family members and their three wives, everyone has to go home together at the end of the night.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
it doesn't go quite as far. Yeah, still though, I appreciated it. And when they were when the brothers were going at each other, it was pretty savage, and there was some fun stuff in there.
I rewatched Working Girl from the late 80s, starring Melanie Griffith, Sigourney Weaver, and Harrison Ford. For some reason, I watched that movie when I was quite young and really enjoyed it. And I watched it again, and it's fine. Joan Cusack is in it. She's got enormous hair and beautiful eye makeup.
Nice.
Lots of different colours. Melanie Griffith has done this acting choice as her character to clear her throat for no apparent reason at just interesting times. So it's kind of like...
It's very Tom Hardy of her.
Yeah, it's slightly annoying. Harrison Ford is not playing a roguish character. He's kind of just there as the love interest, which I think is really funny. And Sigourney Weaver is brilliant because she's Sigourney Weaver. She's the actual boss. She's got no time for it. And if you're going to watch it for her and Joan Cusack.
Sure. All right. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is back. There were two episodes they dropped this week. One was called 2020, A Year in Review. Mm. And it revealed how the guys or the whole gang were taking loans from the government repeatedly and using that to fund business ideas that inadvertently caused a lot of America's issues last year.
Yeah, right.
Including like Danny DeVito's character was running an illegal hairdressing and hair dye for older men. And might have helped out Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, great.
And, yep, so there's
that's
awesome. That.
That's
and,
really good.
Charlie was killing the varmints, the raccoons that kept getting in down below and skinning them and selling the pelts and maybe made the iconic hat that the guy that went to the...
Yeah, oh, there's beautifully a
whole,
tied in. I
there's
really
a whole
like
lot
this.
Of stuff that was really...
It's very clever.
Really, really good. And then the second episode is called The Guy, the Gang Makes Lethal Weapon 7.
Okay.
Because they'd made 5 and 6 before.
Yeah.
And they get really upset because the library, the one library that was stocking the film says they're not appropriate anymore. And then everyone reflects on the fact that there was the black face that they did was inappropriate and the red face they've done is really... And it's just this whole... It's basically the gang tries to get woke, and it was really, really cleverly done.
What else did I watch? I've watched a lot of older stuff. Did I tell you I watched BMX Bandits?
You did. No. You told me you watched the one that was before that.
Yeah, the one I watched before it, Bush Christmas. Yeah, I watched BMX Bandits. And this is 100% one of the – I'm just going to have to come clean. This is the first time I've ever watched it.
Sure, I have not watched it.
I've never watched it. It's one of those films that people assume everybody's seen.
Look, I know it's about it from a poster. In the same way, there was a teacher at school that had a poster of Dead Calm. So right. I understand that she goes swimming at some point.
Yeah, probably. I don't think I've seen that one. Anyway, BMX Bandits. So it's all filmed around the northern beaches of Sydney. So it's all filmed around mainly Manly, but also Warringah Mall.
Oh.
And I think that is hilarious because, one, I just never assumed Warringah. I don't know when Warringah Mall became a thing, but it's obviously gone through quite a few revamps since 1983 or something.
Pretty fancy pants out there now.
But you could still, there are little bits in it where you're like, oh, I think I know exactly where that's filmed. That is filmed there. They go down, they go into the, I can't remember what it's called now, but the waterworks where you'd be able to go down and play and the slip and slide, maybe it's called slip and slide or something. I can't remember what it's called now, but down at Manly near the ferry wharf, there's, and they bring their bikes down. And I'm like, pretty sure you're not allowed to do that.
Maybe back in the day though.
Yeah. Maybe back in the day when everybody was,
do you reckon we should start a petition to get a bronze statue of Nicole Kidman on a BMX bike at Warringah Mall? Because Warringah Mall could do with some tourism to bring it in.
It could.
And seeing the bronze statue of Nicole Kidman on a BMX.
I love it. It'd be like that that dog statue somewhere in Japan of that dog that always waited for his owner out the front of Shibuya or the dog with the tucker box or on the tucker.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's Nicole Kidman and the bike. So everybody like it'll all be bronze and you rub her at the top of her
forehead.
Yeah. Have you got anything left?
I do. I watched the first episode of Baking It.
Oh, nice. How is it?
Look, it was good fun. It's a very different vibe to Making It, which is weird because they film it in the exact same set. And basically the show starts with Amy Poehler being like, all right, I'm going away for Christmas holiday. Maya, you're in charge of the house. She's like, can I have a party? And they're like, no. Can I bring Andy? Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a song, which was kind of awkward.
They sing a song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maya and Andy Samberg sing a song, and it's weird seeing Andy Samberg sing a song that's not hip hop.
Yeah.
And it feels like, oh, dude.
Oh, okay.
Are you cheapening your brand?
Right.
But then it's great because I don't know if you remember, but the first episode making it was her and Nick, like, yeah. and Amy and Nick at the beginning talking about they're doing this because they are passionate for this. And, you know, Nick builds stuff and she's mm-hmm. obsessed with his passion.
And that's why it works, right?
Yeah. And Andy's like, I love food and I'm getting paid very well.
Okay. So, and that's the difference in the vibe?
That's kind of the difference in the vibe of Andy's like, I don't know what this is that you're doing, but it looks pretty cool. Tell me about it. So it's that kind of thing. Myers. Yeah. Amazing as always, yeah, and asking everyone about how many children they have, right. and caring, and this sort
yep.
of stuff. So
yep.
I think you'd enjoy it very much.
I'm going to get into it.
Exclusively on Peacock, though. Oh,
I'll watch it next year when it's somewhere else.
Yeah. Or get a VPN.
Have you got anything else, or can I jump into the quiz?
That'll do ya.
This quiz is called Christmas Hats.
Christmas Hats.
I just want to know what colour the hats on these characters' heads were. These are also including like beanies and stuff, all right?
Gee, all right.
Harry, a.k.a. Joe Pesci, in Home Alone, the first film, what colour is his beanie?
I want to say it's either a dark grey or a navy or something, or maybe like a brownie beige, but it's it feels like an army surplus sort of.
Yeah, so in my memory, it was a grey one, and it's not. I googled it; and it looks quite black. So maybe it's navy
black. I think it's navy black.
Yeah,
I just built the Home Alone Lego set.
So you would know. A bit of insight.
I feel like
info.
It was a dark grey blue somewhere around there. Right. I don't know.
That's good. You.
It was a beanie.
Yeah, Buddy the Elf.
Yes.
In Elf, Clue, there were two colors.
I think it's. Mainly green,
yes.
Like a almost lime
yep.
green. No, like a dark green or azure with white. Is it white pom-pom?
It's a yellow stripe.
Oh, it's a yellow stripe. Your ass. Yes, it's the same as the belt.
Well, look, you went quite well with Home Alone, so let's go to Home Alone 2 and have a look at what Kevin from Home Alone 2, when he was in New York, what was his hat?
Oh, now was it? Tartan with the ear flaps.
Very, very close. It's not ear flaps, no. Mm-mm.
Like, I want to think like lumberjack
it's cold,
or.
It's cold.
It's with the strings.
It was okay. It was definitely a beanie.
Oh, you're right. It is a beanie. It's like it's a dark red or something, isn't it?
Dark blue with a bit of white, you know, Christmas patterns on it.
What the fuck am I thinking about?
Oh, look.
One of them lumberjack hats. Maybe
that was one of the baddies.
Yeah, right.
Or the lady with the birds. So when the Grinch did wear something on his head, what colour was it? So I think Jim Carrey.
Is it a Santa hat?
It was a Santa hat.
All right.
Well done.
All right.
It's kind of hard to skirt around Santa hats, right? Miracle on 34th Street. I'm talking about the 1994 version. Richard Attenborough, when not wearing a Santa costume, what kind of hat was he wearing? It's very well-to-do bloke.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned.
Is it some sort of...
Yeah. It's like a, I don't know, they're not fedoras, but those old hats that people used to wear. Sometimes if you were press, you would have press written.
Yeah.
What colour would it have been?
Not Panama white.
No.
That's Jurassic
Christmas.
Park.
It's serious.
Is it grey? Is it part of a grey suit?
Very, very dark grey, almost black. Final one. Clark in Christmas Vacation when he turns the lights on. So he's standing there and he's got the two cords and he goes.
Oh, it's a Santa hat as well, is it not?
It's not. It's a navy blue Chicago Bears baseball cap with red whiting. He wears the Santa cap when he gets arrested.
And in the movie poster during the same scene.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh. Absolutely.
But yes.
Yeah. I know, right? I know.
You stumped me with that quiz. I can't believe that my knowledge about Christmas-themed film hat usage of the past was so lacking.
Look, sometimes it's hard to come up with an idea.
Really?
And it gets to the point where you just have to stick with something and follow it through.
You could have called this quiz Hats What I'm Settling For.
I love it. All right, Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
Bye.